We got anything to discuss besides Stetson?
Why would we discuss anything but this? What are you talking about?
I know.
What's Stetson do? I don't pay attention to things.
Oh.
Stetson didn't do anything. Stetson just lived.
Yeah.
Stetson is amongst draft internet.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily invalid, but I also am not worried about that.
I think
it's not my problem.
We got our Heisman money.
I think a very important part of his efficiency and effectiveness as a leader at Georgia was his ability to put down an entire rack of Busch Light a night. And I think that I'm not going to make him apologize for that.
Yeah, did they sleep on Matt Stafford at the draft for his Talladega keg cuddle?
No.
I can't remember. I'm asking. I'm very old. Did they sleep on Matt Stafford?
No. But also, well. It was the Lions.
He got out.
He did get out. I just mean the Lions aren't going to be like, well, I don't know if you have the strength of character to come play for
Georgia
Detroit.
Continually impaired Michigan.
I don't know if you're a lion man.
I think that is a question, though. Are you a bad enough dude to survive playing?
Are you a bad enough dude to play for the Lions?
I'm a lionman for the Cowboys.
Can you last longer than Calvin Johnson?
We think Matt Stafford might drink to Kobe. He sounds like a lion to me, brother.
Bring him home. Mama's calling. She's slurring her words because she has to watch the Lions.
On Thanksgiving again.
Another fucking Lions nooner with Big Sean doing the halftime show again. Speaking of slurring words, I wish he would because they're terrible because they were written by Big Sean.
She got a butt. That's why I call her Madam Butt.
You could probably open a honky-tonk here called Madam Butt and do pretty well, if I'm being honest.
Hey, we're going to be at Myrtle Beach this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of Madam Butt, a bar probably exists in Myrtle Beach already called. Actually, it's probably, it's Madam.
Ms. Butt.
It's Ms. Butt.
Ms. Butt.
M-I-Z Butt.
In Myrtle Beach, they go Ms.
Ms. That's Ms. Butt there. It's because it's a friend
of your
mama's. It's
Mama Butt.
Butt.
Mama Butts.
You've made it plural.
A division of Mama Butts. LLC.
Wait, is that possessive or plural?
Ooh.
Plural possessive.
Is it? Oh, it's owned by numerous Mama Butts.
Yeah.
Mama's Butts is.
Mama Butts apostrophe.
Mama's Butts apostrophe.
There we go.
I am betting.
I'm assuming both of these S's are Z's.
Yes, this is a converted Zaxby's.
It's a majority.
There's the former Pizza Hut's become anything. Former Zaxby's that is now a strip club in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
I have gone over very few things from economics classes in my daily life. But one thing that does stick in my head.
But Spencer, you handle all my personal finances.
I have some terrible news for you, Ryan.
Let's head on back to the stable there, big fella.
So, but the notion of inelastic demand is something that always comes back to me because it's always the worst businesses that have the most inelastic demand. For instance, in Myrtle Beach, we could open the worst daiquiri margarita bar ever, and we could call it Ms. Butts. Then we could open one down the road. And we could call it Madam
Mr. Butts.
And then
one of them only lies and one of them only tells the truth. How would you escape the judgment?
Then we could open the steakhouse that's the high-end concept called Mr. Butts.
Monsieur Butts.
Yeah, Monsieur
Butts. Monsieur Butts.
Monsieur Butts. And we could put, and they would all make money. There would be nothing. We could be like, could we do less and could we try less? Could we put out a worse product?
And then
we could put out a competing lobbying experience called the Myrtle Butts Chamber of Commerce.
Can we then also undercut Monsignor Butts with like Brother Butts, right? Like we got the real cheap Dax.
Is that the storefront church?
That's for kids. That's the kids' zone.
Holly, I believe you're referring to Saint Butts.
Yes, excuse me.
I
didn't think Myrtle Beach held with
that. And then we have a schism, and then there's a church called, like, Reformation Butts.
Mm. Catfish Shack? That's Uncle Butts.
Primitive Butts. .biz.
Primitive Buttsists.
Yeah. Catfish Shack, Uncle Butts.
I'm Butts
First
Orthodox.
First Free Will Buttist.
Auntie Butts Lingerie Ooh. Shack. Yes.
Auntie Butts just made me see God. Oh my God. I'm
Auntie
assuming
Butts
not...
is a cigarettes and fireworks stand.
Mm.
Uncle Butts is going to be immediately sued out of business by my Uncle Buster's line of sweatpants.
Uncle.
I mean, it is South Carolina. You could have like Auntie Buttsum. I'm not going there, but
good.
I just know that going to the World's Strongest Man in South Carolina, I will hear at one point someone walk by during the competition and say, "Dang, that's a big old boy." I'm going to hear that at least once. It'll be worth the entire trip.
When I think, where are the world's strongest men? The first place that comes to mind is definitely Myrtle Beach.
That's what's in Myrtle
Have
Beach.
Have you ever been during Bike Week?
Yeah, Horry County. Home of the strong butts.
Why is it there?
I have no idea. They paid. For instance, can I give you a list of places where the world's strongest man has been, and it
Please
will put
do.
It in contest?
Because it's not like Myrtle Beach is not in demand during April.
Let's see if we can find a common thread.
Yeah, because for a long time, it was in Mauritius.
Okay.
Okay. The following
Mauritius,
places,
Kentucky.
Yes, the following Mauritius. Mauritius, Kentucky, starting offensive guard for the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Mauritius also sounds like the name of a dog in Georgia. Mauritius.
Mauritius the...
Get off there.
Mauritius,
islands?
Get down.
Stop that.
Mauritius.
Yes.
A list of recent...
There was room... For the strongmen on that island?
Do you not remember? This is, like, to me, the, like, ESPN heyday broadcasting of it when you're like, here's a big man carrying a spherical rock on a very hot day.
That was always like, on at, like, 3 o'clock
That's
in the
where
afternoon.
That was?
I think those were all in Mauritius. Yes.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
So, here's a list of the places, and if you can find a common thread between them, please tell me.
We're going to ask about Mauritius while we're there, though, because that is a curious starting point.
Mauritius has hosted it on one occasion.
What are Mauritius's chief exports? Maybe that'll answer the question.
Pectoral muscles. That's probably
No, I just mean, do they have a lot of seafood buffets to
let's
feed
see
these
here.
Men?
Economy of Mauritius. All right.
Let's see. Kuala Lumpur.
Sugar.
Okay. Yeah, no, this checks out. Victoria Falls, Zambia. Has hosted it on multiple occasions. Valletta, Malta hosted it in 1999.
That's a real stupid place to have it, but okay.
It is hosted. Oh, Valletta's hosted it at least twice.
That's like a real crowded island the size of Knoxville.
They followed up a trip through Sun City, South Africa by taking it to Wingate, North Carolina.
What?
Uh-huh. Then to Sanya, China, which is in Hainan.
This is a... organization that, forgive me, has invited me to be a correspondent for the weekend, but is also clearly trying to invade law enforcement on several continents.
Putrajaya, Malaysia?
See?
That came right after L.A.,
this,
logically.
This organization, I believe, is operated by Carmen Sandiego.
Followed up, by the way.
Where is like, Carmen Sandiego? Looking for some big dump truck men.
Looking at big-ass dudes is what she's up to.
Listen, Carmen Sandiego... often wants to steal things that like cannot be stolen. Like it's like Carmen stolen Statue of Liberty. How would
but
you do
that? But she can't steal these butts because they got them from their daddies. It's her ultimate challenge.
I think she's recruiting these boys to help loot. Like how are you going to carry off like you know
okay.
all the clay soldiers and you need a bunch of strong boys to do that for you.
Yeah, she's like I got a stunt for you that only the strongest could do. Could you carry the Great Pyramid? Like just for
right,
LOLs
right.
and put it in my right. vault.
I see your vision.
Yeah.
Gumshoes. Carmen's made off with the Louvre.
How'd she do that?
She Eight has all the big
guys.
Boys.
Eight big Finnish men named Toivo. Just
our 10 biggest boys are missing. they're in a tiny, tiny, tiny island stealing it.
Either that or she wanted a stable of boyfriends who all make love for 2 furious minutes and then turn into the biggest, warmest white noise machines you've ever seen in your life.
The travel costs, though. My God.
But all that snoring, they'd be easy to locate.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Yeah. How are you going to cheat when you're this loud?
Sounds like having a kennel.
It does.
And all those, like, supplement farts. These guys are going to be easy to find.
to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk,
hi,
Holly Anderson, and on the ones and
hello
twos, we have Michael Serber.
Hey, what do you think the British thought of King Ralph?
The movie or
the movie? Yeah.
I mean, they're offended by everything, so.
Like, but this is one where I would kind of get it. We made a movie where the entire royal family dies in an electrical accident, and
awesome.
John Goodman, who, if I remember correctly, has a Packers jacket.
And their deaths are used for goofs. Explicitly for goofs.
Yes, for brief goofs at that. There's not even that much mourning afterwards. And then we send over John Goodman, who I believe is wearing a Packers jacket and a Bears hat. Or maybe it's a Cubs hat.
We send our best.
And there's a whole movie about how he goes over there and is just like, well, he's your king now. Eat shit. Like, What if Britain made a movie that was just like, oh, all of the entire American cabinet died in a roller coaster accident, and somehow, some way, it's Liam Gallagher. He's the president of the United States now.
I feel like that would be a hit.
You think so?
I think we'd be like, you know, fair enough.
Okay. We'd be like, nothing lost. No, they'd be like, the Senate. Everyone in the Senate died. We'd be like,
ah. I mean, we made that show and we put Kiefer Sutherland in charge. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think when it comes to like, what if Britain did this or that to
mm-hmm.
us?
Mm-hmm.
Skill issue. Like,
doesn't
they could have just beaten
lost
us at war if
sure
they wanted.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or they could
what
win
if
a World
we drank
Cup
all your fucking tea? Oh,
yeah, they could stop inventing sports they suck
Cup
at, maybe.
But, like, they had to be pissed, right?
They're always pissed.
Yeah, no, I think there was, I mean, listen, based
peeved,
on...
Peeved, maybe.
First of all, King Ralph was probably the most popular 3 minutes in all of cinema in Ireland. Because the entire royal family died.
Joe Biden,
and then they just left the theater. They're like, oh, that was a fine movie. I really enjoyed that.
Short, but good.
Yeah, that's it. Well worth the $5 I paid to watch it. Yeah. So it was probably very popular in Ireland. Also, probably in Scotland. They don't really... I mean, I imagine based on the one woman you'll always see on the internet who they're like, it's at Margaret Thatcher's funerals today. Right. What do you think, cranky-looking Scottish lady? And she's like, I'd put a stake in her heart and put a garlic around her neck to make sure she didn't come back. And the guy's like, isn't that a mean thing to say on her damn funeral? And she's like, too bad. Too bad. She probably fucking loved King Ralph.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that.
I had not considered.
Yeah, no.
That
there were probably many. Listen, what King Ralph? King Ralph in India?
King Ralph playing
oh,
at the
yeah
dollar in County Antrim?
Yeah. Like based on RRR and the success of RRR,
sure,
showing the British being humiliated and destroyed in the 1940s and 1950s, or any vestige of the colonial apparatus being defeated at all, wildly popular, right? This is what you should do. You should take figures from the past who did terrible things and kill them in movies.
King Ralph, huge in France.
Huge in France. No, France looks at that and they're like amateurs.
Amateurs.
Like their monarchs died by accident.
We'll show you how to kill a monarch.
Right, that's true.
We dares.
We invented a whole machine that
France
kills them.
France didn't see it. They were on vacation.
Does it do anything else? Nope.
That
no.
Nope.
But it's made with science and love.
Cigarettes. E-cigarettes.
That's got to be a great moment for Monsieur Guillotine. Hey, man, what are they going to use that for? It had to be a crazy moment for him. Like, so what happened with my magnificent machine? They're like, yeah, we cut the king's head off of it.
You know.
As
again,
one does.
Oops.
Yeah.
So after plotting the locations of the World's Strongest Man locations, I can only conclude that they are looking for locations near water.
Yes.
That's the only thing these have in common, except for the one in the middle of China.
The one in Sichuan's by a river.
In my opinion, that's not going to cut it. There's one in the middle of Hungary. That's also an outlier. I'm still working on this.
I assume what
they
do
with a few fewer strong men.
I assume what they do is at the end of every year, they put the strongmen to sleep. They put fix an oxygen tank
put
to
them,
their face.
Oh, okay.
Wrap sort of, you know, wrap them in some sort of insulation. Chain them all together, you know, sort of like a floating bob. And they push them out into the ocean, and they sort of say, okay, wherever you wash ashore next, that's where we'll have the next.
Oh, like the rubber
strongman competition. Yes. And it's just sort of like, oh, well, they ended up here, so that's where we're having it.
Yeah. Spencer, I think a river might actually count because the ones in and around Zimbabwe are very near Victoria Falls, for instance.
Literally, if our flight theory holds true, with Victoria Falls, they could just jump right in. They could just jump. I think that was also, by the way, they did Victoria Falls so they could have the visual of, like, gigantic waterfalls, huge men lifting wagon axles, you know, like...
Big wet boys!
The biggest! The wettest boys!
We're running theme for a couple of weeks here.
Lifting the heaviest objects.
There is no, like, natural place to do this. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, just put it wherever.
Scandinavia seems like it would be.
I guess so, but...
That's expensive.
It's or sort like of, Samoa.
It's sort of ridiculous no matter where you do it because it's just big boys lifting big things. And that's not a thing where... There is something sort of so old-timey about the World's Strongest Man competition that it, like, feels almost out of place. It's like watching somebody riding a penny farthing.
Is it possible that you've answered your own question by indicating that it's not that it's... fits particularly naturally everywhere, it's that it kind of fits everywhere?
Yes, that's like exactly what I mean.
It's
yeah.
a poorly fitting universal adapter.
It's like the circus. Like, the circus doesn't make sense anywhere, therefore you can have the circus mm-hmm. anywhere.
I think Iceland is where it makes sense, because okay. just in terms of, my God, there is a lot of humidity on this map. We got like, numerous Floridas. We got mm-hmm. all sorts of Southeast Asia. Like,
yeah.
These big boys are going to be moist, and that's not ideal, usually, in terms of athletic performance, sports-wise.
Maybe we have this wrong. Maybe there are certain events where they're like, you want them greased up.
you want
the moistest man to pull a plane.
The moistest man to pull a plane. Who is
that's, yeah. that's a different competition. The world's moistest man.
Are you a bad enough dude to overcome your own moisture?
Summer was a little bit different that year.
The plane I was pulling was actually my father's love.
And my own wet hands.
And my own big wet
my
self.
My own wet hands.
Yes, my own wetness. No, I think maybe if we are considered, upsetting. By the way, that these are all port or water adjacent because you have to float some of these dudes in. Mm. Hafþór Bjornsson, probably you have to barge him, I think. He's probably a barge-based, like, operation,
sure,
if I'm guessing.
Sure.
Yeah, like, imagine, where are you going to put him on a plane?
Mm. Right. It's like when they bring King Kong.
Oh, this
to
is
New
like
York
transporting horses to the Olympics.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I really love that, like, it's called fiction because you can have a fight where there's Hafþór Bjornsson on one side and Pedro Pascal on the other. That was a thing that Game of Thrones did and said, here, this is something that could actually happen. We could put these two in combat.
Yeah, you could. And then there'd be a result that's probably like the one in the show.
I was going to say it ended kind of predictably. Mm.
But Game of Thrones didn't make bad choices, so I don't know what you're saying.
Flawless television show.
Otherwise, totally accurate as well. Totally realistic.
Completely accurate. Undead Iceman rides dragon.
Give me werepanthers.
Yeah, again, I'm sorry, I'm a sophisticate. I watched True Blood.
We're not
going to
do this again. We're not going to do this second.
True Blood, a show that ended without disappointing anyone because there were no expectations.
That show did the best thing. They alienated everyone who watched it before they ever got to the finale.
I
don't know if this is true, but if I remember correctly, True Blood is also based on a series of books, right?
Yes.
Was there a, like, contingent of... the audience that was like, this isn't what happens in the novels. This isn't true to the author's mission.
I'm positive that if we go on Reddit, we will find this.
The books are so much hornier.
How? You want to talk about big sweaty boys? Everyone in that show walked in, and they looked like they had just walked out of
a car wash?
No, what is the Matthew McConaughey, John Grisham, A Time to Kill? They looked like they had walked out of A Time to Kill, covered in like KY jelly, just like, oh Lord.
Big wet dead guys.
Sound like they're ready for World's Strongest Man.
That is. I'm ready to pull a plane for you, Sookie.
I declare I could pull an airboat. such is the condition in which your heart has placed mine.
I don't want to talk about True Blood again. Stop it.
Stop it.
Okay, we'll do it next week.
Another confusing thing for me on The World's Strongest Man is that my father is a competitor. He's not my dad, but he could be. His name is Eddie Hall, which is my dad's name. And it's great.
Welcome to Doc Spencer's dad.
It's great when you get news alerts for him, because it's like, Eddie Hall deadlifts 900 pounds. You know, and you're like, Dad, you are fucking it up.
And does it include the location?
Yeah,
Eddie Hall doing crazy shit in Reykjavik.
what were you doing in Tromsø, Norway? Damn, son. Yeah. So it's a little confusing for me on the Google alerts. Pleasantly confusing though. Well, you know, when they're like, "Watch Eddie Hall eat 12 steaks for lunch," I'm like, "I've seen that."
Do you have Google alerts for your dad?
I do. They were for the World's Strongest Man in the run up at one point. Gotcha. Eddie Hall was, you know, I have some Google alerts that I haven't taken off, right? So, like, I have some for World's Strongest Men, various ones, including Eddie Hall. This is back when he was trying to set a deadlift record, and he deadlifted 1,000 pounds, and blood came out of his ears.
Sure.
You got Google alerts. I'm really asking, is that good?
It's very bad.
Like, it's fucking awesome.
No, I mean, like, within the context of the show, is that considered good?
It means he's trying really hard.
The blood or the lifting?
Blood.
Okay.
Like, is that like, ooh, good effort?
Yeah, it is. It is good effort, and it is also really scary because not only did he have
too good,
not only did he have blood,
just
in
like
his,
blood.
I mean, I've seen. There's a famous video of a guy named Larry Wheels, and now we're getting way into like strength Instagram heroes.
Excellent.
But there's a video of an extremely roided out Larry Wheels, which is the only kind of Larry Wheels there is, deadlifting like a tremendous amount of weight. And blood starts to come out of a part of his body up here. Like it just sort of a pipe burst somewhere in his upper right shoulder quadrant. And just blood starts to come out of him. And you're like, that's too much.
He's got trap stigmata.
Based on Larry Wheels and Eddie Hall, you could definitely get me in a game of SEC position coach or World's Strongest Man competitor.
Spencer, how many strongman Google alerts do you have?
Three.
Seems like that's more than most. I'm not judging.
Do you have Google alerts for anything but this?
Heists. So if there's a heist,
just the word heist.
A Google alert for a heist. That was for an old project, but now
this is like charmingly old-fashioned.
Now I just every time there's a heist, I hear about it.
What if there's a strongman heist?
Wait, does that mean
you'll
a heist
be the first
committed
to hear about the Carmen San Diego thing?
Does that mean a heist committed by strongmen or a heist in which strongmen are the target?
I have three of those, and I have an alert for heists. That's about it.
I'm proud of you. I didn't realize that Google alerts were still like a functional thing. That's kind of reassuring.
I said this to Holly the other day, and I said I wasn't going to say it to you, but now I feel like I have to say it to you.
I take no responsibility for this.
Sure.
You have some really charming grandpa tendencies, and
thank you.
I have a Google alert for heists is one of them.
You know, it's like, we did that like 6 or 7 years ago, and I'm like, this is a net positive in my life on the internet. You should cherish those. They're very few and far between.
Also, this is for a project that didn't get sold, so if you want a really thick folder of crimes, we have that.
Just a big folder full of crimes. That's what it will help you get.
Anybody want to buy our crimes database?
Crimes organized strictly around whether we found them charming or not. Mm. That's it. Charming heists. Only on Gimlet.
It's summer, Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called the Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
So, World's Strongest Man upcoming locations. Oh, no one knows where they're headed next.
Yeah, they got to know where the boys float. You can't predict it. You can kind of see, like, where's the tide going to go, whatever, but you don't know.
Yeah. Until Mark Henry appears on shore somewhere.
There's no way to know.
We can't plan a thing.
And then his incredible gravity.
I have one question I would like to raise that is kind of a call to the audience, to the voicemail line. Holly, what's the – I'm not – this is not a bit.
It's 704 – server, is that right? 704?
Yep, Soulcast.
Area code. 704, that's a Charlotte area code for – Mid-South Airlines purposes. Soulcast, SOLCAST, hail to Ra, the sun god.
Thank you. So my question is this. Based on recent road travel and thinking about going on road trips more broadly, I feel like in the United States, we talk about and advertise bathrooms a lot on our nation's highways. Best restrooms, cleanest restrooms, restrooms ahead. Like, it's a big focus of when you're driving, here are where the toilets will be and how nice they are.
You're talking like a man who's just driven to Pensacola with an infant.
That is exactly what just
sounds like you've passed a few Buc-ee's.
Also correct.
Buc-ee's.
And I don't have any objection to this, to be clear. But in thinking about it, is the United States the only place that is like this? Like, if you travel through continental Europe, are you going to see a lot of signs that are like, oh, don't worry, sweet bathroom coming up, WC, allez? Is this a uniquely American part of the public highway discourse?
I think so, and I think it's based on car culture, because like a lot of. Like, say you're staying in a regular-ass hotel, not even a hostel in Europe, depending on where you are and how old the city is you're in, you might not even have a private bathroom in, like, a regular-ass hotel room in Europe.
Sure.
I think the baseline expectations around bathrooms are fundamentally different in places that don't have our huge car culture. I can only speak for Europe, though.
Okay.
I know that in former Commonwealth places, the bathroom is advertising-worthy. You will see billboards advertising bathrooms in New Zealand, for instance. But New Zealand has a curious thing that I want to see if this is at all. Let us know. They have a thing where they label everything, and I think that's a very British thing to do. For instance, you might just be out in the middle of the woods, and there will be a sign on a tree, and you go like, what does that say? You look at it, it goes, tree. You're like, oh, neat. You know, you might be walking down a path. And there's, like, not just signs, but signs that are advisory signs. So you will be driving, and there will be a sign that says every, I don't know, 10 miles or so, pull over, take a rest. Are you sleepy? And you go, well, that's considerate. And then 10 miles later, it's like, you feeling okay, buddy? How you doing? And I'm like, this is a bit much. So the over-labeling of things is very real. I think the American version is not just to over-label, but be like, hey, this bathroom, it'll change your life. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm asking is if you're a listener and you have traveled extensively abroad, and you can let me know, like, is this a thing? Can you go other places and people are proudly trumpeting their public restroom facilities in the way that we do? I'm just curious.
Spencer, what about in Thailand? What about, like, Taiwan?
I can tell you where this isn't the case, and that would be China. I would love to find a sign in China that's like, our bathrooms are awesome. I would. Because the experience otherwise is one of unending horror. One time there was a bathroom so bad, a German tourist that we were traveling with came out and goes, that bathroom's full of life.
Oh, full of life?
Yeah. But you've never heard a more... You've never heard a more disturbing... use of the word life
I've
than in a German
that
accent.
I've never thought of despair before.
Because like normally,
colonists on a new planet,
like there's
right,
creatures
exactly, like,
emerging.
No creatures in there, right? Like the kind of life the Weyland-Yutani Corporation wants to take back and study. That was the implication, the strong implication. So cool. No, you will not see that in China.
Okay, good. This is helping. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, two things. There's a theme to the things I want to discuss this week. There are two stories, and they are interconnected. One is college football related. One is just, I think, football related, but also societally important.
It's good to get to that 42 minutes into the call.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kick off the show.
Offensive coordinator for Ohio State, Brian Hartline, was involved in what is described as a UTV crash early Sunday morning this past week. According to the Delaware County Sheriff's Department's initial report, Hartline admitted to medics that he had been drinking prior to a crash. Hartline, the driver of the UTV, was laying on the ground when deputies arrived at the scene of the crash. Another male, identified as Josh Gaylor of Lewis Center, told law enforcement he was partially ejected from the vehicle, but did not know if Hartline was ejected. Nobody seems to have been hurt. This was on his property, and it took place... when? At 1 a.m. in the morning, early Sunday morning. Now, this is, I think, full cast relevant because it involves a drunken UTV crash, allegedly.
I don't think you can lose the allegedly at this point.
Side by side.
Okay.
Side by side.
Okay.
All right. According to the sheriff's report, which, you know, that's a sheriff's report.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Enough of a fake attorney with me, Ryan. You're not a fake attorney.
All right, sorry. Yes.
To be like, yeah, I don't know. That's a police
prominent
report.
Buckeyes attorney, Ryan Nanny.
Yeah, let's say some good things about him. Let's come to the defense of poor beleaguered Ohio State.
The only time Ohio State fans doubt cops. Yeah.
Back the blue. Except for this.
Not like that.
Blue.
Wow.
Blue. Yeah. I think you mean the sheriff's department.
Yeah. Regardless of the color of their uniforms, we back them nevertheless.
That should be one of those Facebook t-shirts that has the, you know, I'm a dentist and I'm from Northwestern Ohio and I love my truck. And if you don't like it.
Yeah,
it's
like
just all these little provisos.
Yeah.
Ohioans with like thin blue line shirts. Don't you ever feel conflicted about that?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, no, it's a different shade of blue, I assure you.
I don't know, man.
Why do you hate the police?
It's called back to blue because you're always finishing behind them.
That's right. Numerous years in a row.
In my opinion. We saw.
What did you want to ask? What did you want to ask about this accident, Spencer?
That one led, like, this is to me one of the most SEC accidents ever in Big Ten history, or SEC incidents, because it involves 1:30 in the morning. an ATV slash UTV, right? It's a side-by-side. Somebody's going to get me on that.
And we saw a couple people express astonishment at the hour. No, this is when you do this.
Yeah.
This is prime UTVing hours.
Yeah. This is also, by the way, his first season as the Buckeyes offensive coordinator.
Yeah. The time here is largely unremarkable in the context of the culture.
Yes. But this is by far, when you say, how's your offense looking? You go, well, our offensive coordinator, he got into an ATV crash.
That gives me confidence, or is that just the Tennessee talking?
I feel good.
Like, that's soothing to me.
I feel good. We've got the rowdiest boys in charge of the offense. Finally, some
They're
outright
not overthinking
aggression.
It. They're just letting it fly.
That's right. That's right. You can't act with doubt. If you're
letting
in...
Brian be Brian. Is his name Brian? I just kind of figured.
Yes. Brian Hart. Okay. Yes, he is a Brian.
Yeah. Let Brian be Brian.
Yeah. Letting Brian Hart lie loose on an ATV. I just bumped Ohio State in my little mental preseason rankings. I bet, wherever they are, I'm ticking them up a notch or two, at least.
They're number one in FPI, so maybe this is why.
Yeah.
The computers know.
The algorithm saw ATV accident. It was like power magnifier plus one.
Impressive.
1, yeah. thank you for me just imagining an AI saying that.
Fucking Hill Jack computer.
Y'all named it Hal, not me.
just somebody pouring like Dr. Publix or some sort of knockoff, pouring like Mountain Lightning, some sort of Mountain Dew thing over the computer, and they're like, oh my God, you're going to destroy it. You're like, no, it needs this.
I love Dr. Thunder, Dave. Yeah. Thank you.
I asked AI named Holler. Asked AI named Holler GPT what it thought.
Holler GPT requires saturation with a sugary soda once every 7 hours, or it will start malfunctioning.
Listen, Jason, your clock is starting now, but if you can successfully create Holler GPT, I'm confident you can sell it to Twitter for $10 million.
I only tell the truth.
Let's see. Google domains.
Floyd, Floyd, if you could please pick up that domain for us. Thanks, buddy.
Who could have known that Aqua Teen Hunger Force would generate the soul of the most honest GPT chatbot ever?
$12 a year.
Cheap at twice the price.
Holla, GPT, tell me he's going to win Darlington this year.
Wait, did we make an oracle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess depending on the state, we could sell it as a fortune teller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could 100% do this.
Man, it would be a lot funnier if Skynet was country as hell.
Yeah, I'm going to blow this shit up.
if every Terminator they sent back in time is just like, woo-wee!
Every time you try to raise them with it, woo!
It doesn't say don't tread on we. It says don't tread on me. I'm nuking y'all. I'm starting over. Get nothing but Terminators and big old trucks.
I'm a simple man. And I love that song.
Yeah,
I do.
If I just hear Simple Man playing and I hear the creep of tires behind me.
I need a down-to-earth girl that I can kill.
Oh my God, it's bro country legend T-2000.
You know, it's that smooth mobility of liquid metal that allows me to flow back and forth between genteel pop racism and old country overt racism.
That's what Luke Bryan actually is.
Two tastes that go great together.
Luke Bryan is a Terminator. A very doughy Terminator. Don't make him too buff. They'll see you coming. Make him look normal, but supernaturally strong.
Now, Luke, you know you're going to show up naked.
It's like Mama made me.
Give me your clothes, your boots, and your Silverado. You know, you joke. I'm going to go out in the driveway tonight, and naked Luke Bryan's going to be there. I'm like, ah, we did it. We predicted it again.
Not again, damn it.
I thought you were just looking for good times, not the death of all fleshy humans.
He's in his Randy Travis phase.
Yeah. Wait, which hang on. Which Randy Travis phase?
The other one. The other
Randy,
one.
Randy Travis yeah. musical phase or Randy Travis extracurricular phase?
Naked in his underwear getting arrested phase.
Okay. Yeah. Server, this predates you, but we do have a working theory from a long ago episode that Randy Travis is an alien sent to Earth to teach humans to love. Only he's been here for so long that his wiring is kind of dry and cracked and his programming's going a little bit.
Yeah.
That checks Earth's out. Kind
of, Earth's so kind see, of... Honky Tonk Moon is actually about a bar that has had its roof shot out. And that's why it's shining on my baby and me.
I'm going to add up the
them three wooden crosses is actually just a marker point for the ship to land.
See, yeah. Yeah, you get it.
This is my alternate theory now that Randy Travis is the John Connor of this thing, right? Like, he just keeps coming back, like, as a warning. Mm. Don't fall for Luke Bryan's wiles.
Tremendous baritone warning.
Yeah. Warbling. Warbling a gorgeous warning while driving 80 miles an hour the wrong way down the road away from the cops.
It's a metaphor.
That's why he was doing it. That's why he was doing it.
Can't trust anybody.
That's why he was doing it, because it was a metaphor.
Yeah.
Also,
what kind of love does a time traveler have? The kind that lasts forever and ever, because he's constantly cycling in time.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen, brother.
See, the other vehicle-based story that I wanted to talk about, because there were two important ATV accidents. By the way, to sum up, Ohio State wins the national title this year. I'm just going to put that out there.
See there, Ohio State. Stop emailing our bosses.
Yes.
We don't have any.
Don't have any. Yeah. Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson was involved in a scary situation over the weekend while playing golf in the Denver area. Boy, there's a sentence nobody's ever written before. Terror while playing golf in the Denver area. Well, the 9-time Pro Bowler was playing at Arrowhead Golf Course in Littleton, Colorado. His golf cart appeared to flip over near a bunker. It's unclear exactly what happened to cause the golf cart to flip.
You ever flipped a golf cart?
I don't know how, but no.
He drove it up to the edge of the fucking bunker like an idiot and flipped it over. He yes. deserved what happened to him.
Yes. Wow. And also drove it up not straight on. Drove it at a weird angle.
Yeah, and he
like,
fucked the bunker up. Like
it is the most pedestrian possible way the he bunker. Like it's the least metal way he could have flipped a golf cart.
Yeah.
Like, Servers. If he could have flipped it forward, end over end, he would have done that.
Server, you sound angry about this.
Well, yeah, I am.
Angry about the condition of the bunker.
I'm telling you right now, Russell Wilson was not the last person on the course that day. There were groups behind him. They come up. The bunker's fucked. The Rangers had to probably go rebuild the bunker. If you turn over a cart in a bunker.
That's a free drop.
Those old dudes are supposed to do nothing but say, hey, get up here. And then that's it. That's their job. That's all they do. But, like, now they're going to have to go out there with all the young kids and help them with the bunker. Ugh.
Yeah, I need
probably
to
close the hole. Just put down a four. Fuck it.
Just a treat.
Put down a four. Yeah.
You kids could stand to do a little more hole closing.
That's what Russell said.
This is too many people to deal with this.
This is exactly... Okay, so, like... Anytime there's trouble at a golf course, they do this.
There are six people
like,
in this picture.
Yeah.
Seven. Well, one guy's just looking. So he doesn't count.
Well, right, because...
Supervising.
Yeah.
So, like, on a golf course, when something goes wrong, I don't know if you've ever been on a golf course when, like, something goes wrong, they'll be like, hey, don't, you know, hole eight, you know, it's... There's, don't go. Something's happening at a hole
ghosts.
Eight.
So, ghosts. Ghosts all over the hole.
So golf ghost.
So, naturally, what happens... You go to look, right? Like, oh, yeah, don't go to hole eight. And you're like, yeah. Walking right over there. It's the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I assume that's what happened here, is that somebody was like, yeah, some idiot flipped. Like, imagine, you're over there, and someone's like, some idiot flipped a cart in a bunker. You're like, well, I'm going to go look at the idiot who flipped a cart in a bunker. And then, y'all, it's Russell Wilson. I'm calling people.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
So hello, so humans. there is a further in the tweet that you've sent us. There is a further report that he was in the cart, but he was not driving.
Oh, boring.
But it says a teammate was driving, which feels like maybe some shit. Russell
There's no
Wilson
fucking way.
That's
There's
some
no fucking
bullshit.
Teammates.
This is some. This is some Alex Murdoch shit. If I ever heard it.
Who on that team would play golf with him?
I think we know Russ well enough to know the person who took the wheel was Jesus.
Nobody wants to. Who?
So, a terrible driver.
The most implausible Russ is blaming bit Jesus of all here. Of this.
Yeah.
That they could have let this go, but now they're implying an even bigger lie of all, which is that anybody on that team wants to hang out with him.
I love that he said, Broncos country, let's ride. And then there's a rat tipped over.
Straight to the bunker, baby.
This was on. Here's the other thing. Brian Hartline was riding his UTV on a Saturday night, late Saturday night, right?
Mm-hmm. As one does.
Russell Wilson's golf cart flipped on a Thursday in the middle of the day. Like, time and place matter for these things.
Yeah, because you know what? Brian Hartline was having fun.
Brian Hartline was on his property, right?
He was on his property.
Minding his business,
engaging in his own, you know, maybe not thoughtfully wagered out foolishness, but still.
Yes, yes.
And God, I bet that felt fun. Like, let's not leave that out of the story. When you're like, what does riding an ATV around in the dark at 1:15 a.m. with, you know, maybe a couple of drinks in your system, how does that feel? Incredible. That's the answer. It feels incredible. Is it safe? No. It had to be really fun, though. How does this feel? This probably feels like you're an idiot.
It 100% does.
Now, have you ever crashed a golf cart, though? I have crashed a golf cart.
How do you mean, what do you mean crashed a golf? Like, what does that mean?
Okay, so.
There's not doors that fold, like, you know, what are you talking about?
Not full inversion, right? Did not flip.
Yeah, we said
right?
you didn't
We've
flip
established
it,
that.
But, yeah, there's not that much cart to crash is what I'm saying.
There's a dangerous Rubicon that you can cross when you realize that you can hit things with golf carts. Because then you just start hitting them because it doesn't really affect them very much.
You can hit something with anything.
Well, you can hit things with a golf cart and they'll keep working is what I mean. And then you can return them. And then the next round, your recklessness is only doubled because you go, well, I hit someone with this golf cart and it was fine. But I'm probably going to try to hit my friend again.
So you've decided. So at some point in your younger times,
this
you
is
decided,
a TikTok that you're
you decided
about.
That a golf cart was basically a bumper car without a restricted area.
I didn't decide that. They're made that way.
No,
Ryan.
That's what you decided
no,
to do.
It was
them.
Revealed to me okay. the true right. inner nature of the golf cart. Something okay. that you refuse to see.
Kids, get an English degree so you can learn to use passive
My third eye is
like
closed.
This.
Your third eye is closed. Mine, brother, it's open.
The golf cart, which decided to become a metaphor.
Golf carts can hug, is what I'm saying.
What did you do? How did? All right. So what? How did you wreck a golf
if
cart?
If not called bumper, why no bump?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. See.
Wait. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So, the sport that I was asked to play when I was younger was golf, and I did not particularly enjoy it. And occasionally, my siblings were also invited along, including my sister. My sister. Should never be at the wheel of any vehicle and drives like a distracted cat. She will look at the road 1 minute and that's fine. And then the next minute she will start crocheting while at the wheel of a car and not looking. And this very much described her approach to golf carts, but her third eye was also open without, you know, some of us have to go through that process of, oh, you know, the world actually doesn't have rules. And some of us are just born with, oh, no fences. I will behave accordingly. That's my sister. So my dad is yelling at me for golfing because that's what dads do. Dads just golf at, you know, you're just like, I don't know how to do any of this. And he's like, golf, you know, and I'm like, yeah, this sucks. I hate this. And
I think I might know why you don't like golfing.
I think you figured it out. I think we all figured it out real fast, Ryan. So I'm sitting there sucking and my dad is attempting to do something very foolish, which is enjoy a round of golf at the same time. Not possible. Right. You're a dad. You know this. It's not possible to enjoy an activity you're trying to teach a child at the same time. It's just not. They're going to be doing the thing. You're going to be over here. That's different. And we're playing along, and my sister is, I hear we have two carts, and I'm supposed to drive one, and my dad's supposed to drive the other. No one is supposed to be making the noise where you press the pedal down in here at the time. But I am getting ready to tee off from, I don't know, my ninth shot in the middle of the fairway. And I hear, and I look back, and my sister, mind you, I'm about 12 at this time. My sister is 10, and she has the pedal down and the wheel bearing down at my dad in the cart. He has to throw himself sideways out of the way. She goes barreling down while my dad on the ground is going, break, break. So she hits the brake. It's a near accident. Okay, we're not going to do that again. But I thought, you know, that's interesting. Now I have to drive and she has to sit in the passenger seat. We all have to behave. My dad hits his shot. He pulls the cart up. He pulls forward. I get in the cart. And I've had a very bad time that day. And I get in the cart and I go, Emily, watch this. And my dad is getting ready to take off. And right as he lets off the brake, I ram the back of his golf cart at full top speed, causing clubs to go everywhere. It was beautiful. It was absolutely stunning.
You goddamn monster.
Yeah. And I said, oops. And of, like, the least convincing oops in the world. And then the round of golf was canceled.
Are you stopped?
We had to stop, yes. I know. We had to stop.
You were at the ninth at that point?
No, I'm pretty sure we were at, like, the third. It was real early in the round.
Oh, I wouldn't have stopped.
No.
See, that's what I was going to say, is that what makes golf as a dad-child activity a little different than other dad-child activities is you... Dads will pull the plug on other things. Like, we just got to the beach, but it's going terribly. Fuck it. Pack it all back up. We just got to the baseball game, but you just dumped ice cream all over your sister. Nope. We're done. We're leaving. Golf is the thing where a dad will be like, we are going to play all 18 fucking holes, and I don't care if I hate every goddamn second of it. There is a start and there is a finish, and we will complete it. It takes a lot to pull a dad off the golf course altogether.
It wasn't me. It was my sister. It was the presence of my sister. If it had just been me, that had happened multiple times, right? Where we're like, we're going to have 18 holes. 18 miserable holes that both of us will fucking regret for the rest of our lives. The presence of my sister, too much. Too much chaos. She was the tipping point.
I don't feel comfortable blaming her when she's not here to defend herself.
I feel very comfortable blaming her.
I'm sure you do.
Absolutely.
As the other culpable party, I'm sure you do feel good.
It could be that all golf endurers are dads.
Yes, I think there's something to that.
Do you ever hear about anyone's mom out there? Like, we're going to play golf.
No, because they have fucking sense.
Yeah. We're going to stand out here in the middle of this toxic chemical spray grass runway.
We have rampant misery at home.
Yeah, with no shade, with two very pale children. We are going to drive you up and down this course for no gain for anyone. For 18, we're going to do it 18 times. We're not just going to do it once. We'll do this 18 times.
Yeah, I am such a mom right now.
Yeah.
I want no part of this. I'm not even going to begin with.
At least with football, you're like, well, I don't know. They get concussions, but there's a clock. It's going to be over with.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible, but it'll end.
You guys have the wrong approach. Like,
We should probably mention that Serber, like, recently retook up golf.
No, not reef. Took it up for the first time.
You played when you were little.
No, I, like, had a cup in the backyard that my grandpa cut for me. He took me one time to the driving range. I hit the ball really bad, got a little upset, and he was like, this isn't for you. And then I never played golf again.
Well, so you've talked about Hand in the Dirt, about how you have been gearing yourself up to...
Therein lies my point. It does not matter what happens between hole 1 and 18. It all matters what happens in the dressing room. As long as I am able to put on a brand new pair of, like, Air Max 90s or Jordans or something like that, and a nice dry fit, and I look good, the rest of it is really... It doesn't matter. I'm putting a cooler in the back of the cart to get drunk in the middle of the day while my wife is at work, And I don't feel guilty about it at all. And I look really good for like 4 hours. It's the only time I look athletic in my life now.
So we're going look good, feel good, play good. But we're skipping the last
part. Get rid of the play good. Not important.
Yeah. This is the biggest distinction, I think, between golfing now and golfing in the 70s up until like 1995, probably. What longer than that, even. Like, the time of the era in which Spencer was golfing and in which I was golfing as a teen, nobody looked good. Whether you had money, whether you like cared about it a lot, like, everybody's shoes were fucking ugly. Everybody's polo shirts were itchy and sweaty. Like, and this included the professionals. Like, you go back and watch, like, I don't know, the 1993 U.S. Open or something. You'll just be like, look at all these fucking dorks. They look fucking stupid.
Seriously, they all look like people who were handed the 1978 JCPenney men's casual section and stranded in the middle of a sun-blasted future graveyard.
They look like Florida church extras.
Yeah.
It's like the idea, the idea that anybody would have looked at any golfer at that point in time and been like, oh man, those shoes are great and I want them,
yeah,
is bonkers. And I know that's not what we live in now, but
yeah. No, the game of golf did nothing to hook me. It was merely an extension of finding a new fashion to be infatuated with.
Sure.
And then the golf just kind of comes along with it, and I do that. I like the opportunity to, I can buy a golf bag that I like too, that I think looks cool. Just like, I hadn't bought clothes in a really long time. The Chuck Taylors I have are from my senior year of high school.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Good Lord.
That's some endurance. That's some value.
I've always had a lot of Chucks, so they get rotated.
Okay.
So, Server, what you're saying is that to take children out on a golf course, what I should do is, or what any
children out on the golf
prospective
course.
Father
to
do,
defeat children on a
make
golf
sure
course.
You should have like make sure you should get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Don't get the children drunk.
Get them a little drunk.
A little drunk.
As your lawyer, I must advise you.
Here's what you do. Get an EU passport. Doesn't have to be real. Just has to be believable. When the marshal comes over and says, hey, what's going on here? You put on your worst accent and be like, in my country, we let an 11-year-old.
Buongiorno.
Get off the slab or we let child get dimpled.
Four extremely nondescript but fringed mini flags to put on the corners of your cart and claim diplomatic immunity.
I mean,
just a little bit of the beer
all these
in the body bottle.
Bringing back like child labor, like fuck it, man. If you're 14 years old, you put in 10 hours at the factory, you get a fucking drink.
Let the girl smoke. Let the girl smoke.
Yeah, if we're bringing back child labor.
Let kids smoke.
Hey, smoking's cool. Kids are lame nowadays. Make them cool.
Look, we're never going to make smoking look uncool, so we're going to have to fix this in other ways, okay?
Objectively, smoking is probably the coolest thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know it's not cool? Vaping. Bring back smoking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hello to all the parents who let their kids listen to this in the car. We have repeatedly warned you about this.
We are your cool uncle.
Kids, you know, if you take the pack of Marlboro Reds and roll it up in your sleeve it will look awesome.
Kids, I guarantee you your parents smoke, and they're just better at hiding it than you are right now.
Yeah, you may lack self-confidence and self-worth, but you know what's going to make you feel better in both those departments?
Smoking.
Operating a lathe.
Smoking.
Operate a lathe.
Smoke while you are doing so.
Yeah.
While you're smoking.
You know, you think I'm joking. I think I'm joking, went out on a golf course with both of my children and I had a 12-pack of beer, at least one of them would be like, let me wet my beak, father. Just one. Just a little.
Some Ron DeSantis staffer is listening to this and is like, Cerber's pro golf and smoking. We should get him on the campaign. I like the way this guy thinks.
I'm going to attack Disney World with a bunch of angry, smoking toddlers.
Also sounds like he's got a handle on fashion, which we could also use some real fucking help with.
Yeah. That's where they really need me.
So that's it. Child labor golf course. Got it.
Is it okay? A lot of people have asked us about what our future merch plans are for the store, and we've got a lot going on. I don't intend to answer all those questions right now, but I just want to toss this out there. Is it technically illegal for us to sell to sell like little flags that we say can put on cars and give you diplomatic immunity?
No.
Okay. Is it technically illegal for us to promise diplomatic immunity?
I mean, Dipset got away with it.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Do we have the confidence of them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I don't. Camera. Oh, okay.
I don't have the confidence of Dipset. No.
I don't. I don't either.
I didn't say it was earned.
Few do.
Right.
I didn't say it was earned, but I feel like I could get there.
Okay.
As an expert in Jewel Santana law, I say yes. I feel confident.
What about like diplomatic parking passes?
You know,
in that one Billions episode.
Chances are we can actually find a country that will be willing to partner with us.
Texas A&M would do it. We just tell them we're Saudi. No, okay. Server, you've been gone all day. You have heard who is trying to buy the Commanders, right?
Mm-mm.
All right, so let's walk through what happened.
Ryan,
here.
Go ahead.
So Dan Snyder announced, I don't know, a couple months ago that the Commanders, didn't announce it, but let it leak that the Commanders were being put up for sale. Bunch of different names popped up. Not actually for anything is the fucked up part. Like, this very much seems to be, maybe he's getting pressured to do this, but it's not a forced sale that the NFL is making happen, which they have done in other circumstances, and which other leagues have done as well. Bunch of names come up. Jeff Bezos' name comes up. Tillman Fertitta's name comes up. Tillman, I think, says that he put an offer in for $5.5 billion, but told them that was his max, and he wasn't going to go higher than that. He bought the Rockets for, I want to say, $2 billion. If that sounds familiar, I don't know. Could be wrong. So then, finally, this multi-ownership group that includes the guy who I think is the majority owner of the Philadelphia 76ers announced that they've reached terms with Dan Snyder to buy the team for $6 billion. And then a mystery bid comes in late.
It is Tuesday, April 18th, by the way, as we're recording this. And this was last night?
The mystery bid came in last week. Like, this was all announced, I want to say, like, Wednesday or so, and the mystery bid
came in. All right, this was last week's thing that happened right after the full cast. Yeah.
Yes.
Get to talk about.
The mystery bid came in, like, Thursday or Friday or something like that. And it was rumored to be at least $7 billion. So a full billion over what the deal Dan Snyder was prepared to take came from. And it also was not contingent on any financing. It was more or less somebody showing up and saying, like, I'd like to buy your house and I have an all cash deal to offer.
It was probably Frank Langella.
The person who is fronting this deal, I have to look up now.
It's another Brian.
Brian Davis?
Brian
yes,
Davis.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
What do we know about Brian Davis, kids?
Brian Davis is a former Duke Blue Devil. And today, who was it that came out with the news? Who was it that came out with this, Holly? I forget who actually said that where this money baby coming from.
Looks like Darren Haynes.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Darren.
And Darren Haynes has reported that this money may, in fact, all be coming from the Saudi Sovereign Fund, the same fund that is propping up LIV Golf and
now
is, like, trying to buy one of the most known, that feels like the most neutral word I can use, franchises
most
in the NFL.
Most public.
One of the most NFL.
Most extant. Yes, one of the most NFL franchises.
Most present. Definitely present.
I can't decide if it would be funnier for the Saudi Royal Fund to control the football team in our nation's capital or for them to buy it and move it to Dubai.
What is particularly darkly delightful about all of this is that once
Dubai
the
is
first,
not in Saudi Arabia, by the way, don't at me. It's
once
just where it's going to go.
Once the first deal was announced, lots of people, rightfully so, were like, all right, well, here's, you know, the deal on this new owner. But no matter what, it's better than Dan Snyder. And in swoops.
About that.
Which, like, there's no nice way to put this. The journalist who was beheaded in Saudi Arabia was a writer for the Washington Post. Was a reporter for the Washington Post, wasn't he?
Yeah, what do you think the asterisks and the disclosure stories in the Washington Post for this are going to look like?
On the one hand, I am sure the NFL doesn't want this to happen because... because it's messy. Because it's, like, inconvenient and annoying. And I think most of the reason why they have been angling to get new ownership of the Washington franchise is because Dan Snyder is messy and annoying. And it doesn't really make sense to sort of just, like, trade that for an even bigger problem that you can't do anything with. Maybe the Saudi royal family is going to own a football team. Maybe not.
Yeah,
I'm leaning probably not.
I think the reason the NFL wouldn't want this, this part looks like was reported by Front Office Sports, since we are a crediting organization suddenly. Yeah, yeah. I think the reason the NFL wouldn't want this is people would say, ooh, like the golf thing? They would sound like a second-rate sports venture, right?
Right.
That would be the embarrassing thing. Not
you're right.
Moral
that would be way
or...
more of a deterrent for them than anything else.
No.
It make those September 11th games really fun, though.
God.
Yeah. There's that.
So what kind of a tribute to 9/11 are we doing?
Jesus.
Oh, against. Okay. Right.
On the other hand, Dan Snyder doesn't have to sell this football team and has said previously, like back in December, that $7 billion is the number that he wants. And he already hates basically every other owner in the league and has been allegedly spying on them and threatening to dig up all this dirt and expose whatever. Like he clearly has no bridges left to burn. I have a hard time believing that he would say, you know what, it would be smoother for everyone else if I just took the $6 billion and did the thing that was nicer and less dramatic for the NFL as a league. Like, I don't think Dan Snyder gives a shit about that. I think he'll take the $6 billion offer if another $1 billion from somewhere else can magically show up for him. But I don't think he's about to just turn down a $7 billion offer because it causes the NFL a PR problem. But it's not just up to him.
Can the NFL just do it like, oh, no, now you're owned by all of us. The franchise is owned by the rest of us.
I think the NFL could technically do. I don't know. I'm just talking out my ass here. But I think like that is a thing the NFL could do. I feel like that's what happened with, I want to say, the
was
New Orleans
the
Hornets franchise.
Aesthetically,
they were at the time.
Yeah, the Hornicans.
That would at least be aesthetically interesting because it would be, well, how could this Commanders franchise get more generic?
Right.
Oh, we have your answer.
We're going back to
here
football.
Here come the cheerleaders
team.
All wearing the Rob Lowe NFL hat.
it's nothing about this stupid franchise can ever be normal. Like, has there ever been a sustained period in the last 25 years where it was just like, yep, just normal times with Washington?
No. They're always having something like, if things get quiet and successful for a while, then they mysteriously sign an overweight, injured veteran for five times his market value.
Wow. Albert Ainsworth being unnecessarily here.
He's
I assume that's who he's talking about.
Well,
he's
to your point, though, it happened with Dana Stubblefield, too.
Sure.
It is just a rotation.
Sure.
No, that's it, man. Like, Dan Snyder loved nothing if not an overpaying veteran talent, which veteran talent, like, knew to the point where it was a running gag. Like, oh, you're going to sign with Washington. Good job.
Also, it's far from an insult for this podcast to point out a big guy got money just to lay around. Mm. Good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what we're all about. big salute. Big dudes, right? Getting paid for being prone.
Or a sewage pipe would burst. Or there'd be a story about how they were trying to sell, you know, mattresses owned by a Dan Snyder company at the game. Or whether they were going to, you know, concessions are closed, but you can still get meals at Johnny Rockets in the e-concourse. Like, just every bit of insane nickel and diming and wealth extraction. It's amazing that somebody treated their own franchise like an extractable resource. like that Dan Snyder just mined it for value until there was nothing left.
The fracking kings of the Washington Bayou.
He fracked his own franchise.
Kind of all he did is just wait, though. Like, he just bought it, didn't give a fuck, waited on it to become far more valuable, and then left. That's it.
He crockpotted it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, the entire time, in addition to all this shit, like, numerous scandals, having the most racist name in, like, sports history. Mm-hmm. Like, just an incredible tenure.
The like stadium literally falling apart.
Not only the stadium falling apart,
the stadium causing players to fall apart.
Yeah.
And stadium alternatives where it was like, okay, so now the Washington franchise is going to be closer to Baltimore than the city in which it's actually named? What?
That's sick. Give Baltimore two NFL franchises.
They deserve it. Move the Chargers there too.
Move, yeah. We can buy all the Zubaz and we will wear them all the time. Baltimore's been through a lot. Let them
Steve Spurrier got paid, though.
Move the Colts home. Yep.
That's how... I like people say that, you know, this is verifiable that Steve Spurrier was a failure as an NFL coach, but he has a lot of company. Everyone else who coached for the Washington franchise was a failure as well.
I think Steve Spurrier also recognized... Like, I think it's entirely possible Steve Spurrier took this job because he recognized, oh, this franchise is too stupid to not hire me. And so I might as well take their money for as long as they'll give it to me.
I love that.
To Spurrier's credit, too. One, he left money on the table by leaving because he said his give-a-damn was broke.
Mm-hmm.
Only football franchise. Keep in mind, this man later coached South Carolina. He coached Duke and South Carolina.
His give-a-damn also
not
broke
break
in South Carolina. No, his give-a-damn definitely broke that last year.
His give-a-damn may
South
have been
Carolina.
Irreparably damaged before he got there.
Yeah. He
got them to a point of success, and then his give-a-damn broke.
That's
okay?
True. Yes.
But listen, Steven Garcia will put third-degree burns on anybody's give-a-damn.
Mm-hmm. And he glided right through that, baby. Like on to the next. The Washington franchise absolutely broke his give-a-damn. And two, Steve Spurrier also made sure that nobody worked too many hours. So in terms of reducing exposure to the evil of the Washington football franchise, Steve Spurrier was doing a lot of good there. He's like, yeah, it's 5:00, go home. Nobody needs to be around this crap.
The give a damn restored in 2019 for as head coach of your AAF champion Orlando Apollos.
An inspired turn as the head coach of the Orlando Apollos.
Steve Spurrier and Mike Shanahan both had finished with the exact same winning percentage.
See?
Just at like Washington. Fucking terrible. 375, but that's what they did.
The mastermind, Mike Shanahan. Oh, suck it. Spurrier's got your record.
Yep.
All right, since you're looking, who is, of all of the people, every time they hired somebody, it sounded hilarious. That's how you know a franchise is a joke, when you go, who's their coach? And they're like, Jim Zorn. You're like,
yeah, sure, sure. Where do you want to start?
Who had the best winning percentage of any coach?
In team history?
No, under Dan Snyder's tenure as owner.
Okay, so when does Dan Snyder buy the team?
99.
97? 95? It's like in
well,
there.
Let's see. This is an answerable question.
There is no answer. When do you think Dan Snyder?
1999. Okay. So let's say 2000 is the first year that he has that level of control. The coach... Hold on. I'm sorry. This is not good audio, but I'm working on it.
What?
Norv Turner's the coach that year, but Norv Turner is a holdover, so he doesn't get credit for Norv. The first coach that he hires is Marty Schottenheimer in 2001. who goes 8-8, which is like pretty respectable. Marty Schottenheimer doesn't coach another season after that. I'm trying to figure this one out.
Broken.
Because I don't remember why that happened.
Because he took the Chargers job.
Because Dan Snyder fired him after one season to hire Steve Spurrier instead.
Marty then went on to the Chargers, where he had two 10-win seasons. So
didn't they all?
Great choice.
So Marty Schottenheimer before this had been working on ESPN, and he criticized Dan Snyder for being a meddlesome owner. Then Dan Snyder hired him. Then he fired him to hire Steve Spurrier. Okay, so Steve Spurrier then goes 375. After that, is this Joe Gibbs comes back?
That was
back?
Joe Gibbs! That's
it
Joe,
is Joe Gibbs!
Gibbs
comes back. But you know what? You don't get credit for that, because that wasn't, you just, like, called your dad's friend. That's not somebody that you really came up with. So that doesn't count.
Okay. Can we cover the NFL if we're outlawing calling your dad's friend?
Yeah, that eliminates like 3/4 of the labor force.
I guess I mean like you don't get particularly nobody's like, wow, what a brilliant hire that was to bring back a coach who had already succeeded with your franchise well before you were involved with it. After Joe Gibbs, we jump to Jim Zorn.
I'm going to say that Jim Zorn had the best record sight unseen. There, that's my guess.
Even that Joe Gibbs era, I think, is a losing record on the whole. So, like, bringing back the legend didn't work.
Let's see. That Joe Gibbs in his time...
30-34.
I had a .469 record. He has. Okay. For somebody who coached more than one season in that pit of absolute despair, he has... the highest winning percentage.
So in Joe Gibbs' initial run with Washington, he had one losing season. They went 7-9 in 1988, and the rest were .500 or better, including three Super Bowl wins and an NFC title in there as well. And when he came back, he had two losing seasons out of his 4 years. So, yeah. Joe Gibbs is probably the best still, even with that, at least for now. Then you get to Jim Zorn. Jim Zorn gives way to Mike Shanahan. All of these coaches, Mike Shanahan, Jim Zorn, and Steve Spurrier, all finished with the same winning percentage, all 375s, like completely irrelevant and completely different as coaches go too.
These are the dumbest hiring practices. This is literally, if you go in order, it's literally. Like, guy who was there.
Yep.
Toady.
Yep.
Old guy.
Yep.
Flashy guy.
Yep.
Old guy.
Yep.
Toady.
Wait.
Old
guess
guy.
Guess who's coming up next?
Someone's brother.
Jay Gruden.
You couldn't get Sylvester Stallone.
It is
so
someone's
you went
brother.
And you got Frank Stallone.
He was there a long time.
Jay Gruden is there for
he
85.
He was there so much longer than I remember.
He's there for 85 games. He finishes with a .418 record. And that
pretty good.
The current coach, Ron Rivera, who through 50 games is at .450. So I guess Ron Rivera is maybe?
No, it's Marty Schottenheimer at .500.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It is Marty Schottenheimer. It's still Marty. Yes. Best hire that Dan Snyder made was the first one and the one he bailed immediately on again to hire Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's a pretty good run. And that doesn't even get into, like, draft decisions, like, free agency, all this bullshit. Like, just a miserable, stupid franchise. Because think about also in this time span, how many other franchises have, like, ridden the normal wave of we're terrible, we're good, we are, you know, we make changes, we grow, we suck. Like, they all have, even the Jets in this time span, go to multiple AFC championship games. Even the fucking Jets have moments where they're like, we are good at football.
The Jaguars have had like 3 rounds of being really good in this time.
Correct. Ed Washington's fucking clueless.
Who's had more winning seasons, the Lions or Washington?
In their history?
Since 2000.
This millennium?
You guys don't have to look. I will look. I just wanted to pose the question.
Here, let's look.
This is important to look. So here's the tricky thing. Washington, part of why Washington is the way it is they don't have a ton of terrible seasons. They don't do the Browns thing where they're like, oh, we won two games. Washington is what the Rams were for so many years, where it's just like, oh, they went 7-9. Oh, they went 6-10. So they never accumulate. They never benefit from any draft capital, and they're always sort of like pushing late in the season for no goddamn reason, and they're always just stuck in the middle. Like, this is what, honestly, this is what the Milwaukee Bucks were for years before Giannis turned into Giannis, and like, that's not going to happen for a fucking NFL franchise. It's just not. So I suspect you will find many more Washington winning seasons than Detroit winning seasons.
It's Detroit.
Detroit 6-5. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Or excuse me, 7-5. 7-5. Detroit had a winning season last year at 9-8.
Damn. Jesus.
Yeah. I all of a sudden realized, I was like, wait, the Lions are so bad, but I think when Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson were there, accomplished more than Washington has accomplished. In 23
last
years,
winning season was 8-7-1 in 2016.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time they won a playoff game?
They haven't won more than 10 games.
They last won a playoff since 1991. Joe Gibbs' Super Bowl in 1991.
There's another one in there.
I'm looking.
There's a wild card win.
2005 wild card win. Sorry.
Yeah. Joe Gibbs got him a win.
Yes, but both for Gibbs.
That's still 17 years ago. That they won a wild card game over a John Gruden Bucks team.
Yeah, they haven't won a playoff game.
A late Gruden Bucks team.
A bad John Gruden Bucks team.
Yeah.
Fallen Gruden.
A Chris Sims Gruden Bucks team.
They haven't
punished Gruden.
They haven't won a playoff game without Joe Gibbs since 1972.
So again, about taking this team into government receivership.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
That means that they can no longer do things like, for instance, in 2006, they sold September 11th commemorative hats for the 5th anniversary.
I get pro or anti?
Good question. Okay. The hats were black Commanders hats with a red, white, and blue Pentagon patch on the side. They sold for $23.99. There was no mention of the profits going to any 9/11 charity, and no other team sold any other kind of commemorative 9/11 merch that season.
Vince Lombardi coached this franchise and finished with a negative point differential.
This is the same year they were caught selling surplus peanuts from a bankrupt airline at games.
What? No. I don't know about this. That's tell me everything. Business.
There are scandals within scandals.
Tell me everything about this.
Season ticket holder Jim O'Brien noticed that the bag of peanuts he bought at a game was decorated in royal blue and white instead of the team colors. And it had the logo for Independence Air emblazoned on it.
What?
The problem was that Independence Air went out of business in January of that year. And that the shelf life for a bag of peanuts is 3 months. 9 to 12 months old at the least. I'm sorry that I'm too good at business.
This is my favorite Washington fact. I'm going to tell everyone this.
That's the absolute best.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
What a world.
Yeah.
What a rich tapestry we inhabit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe the Saudis own this franchise now. Good luck, because can you imagine whoever owns this will find when they like get into the literal and computer files and be like, oh, my God.
It's all on floppies, damn it.
They have so much porn on site. Why do they have so much porn in their offices?
Entire HR department is run on Dino Park Tycoon. Which would explain some things.
By far the coolest thing Dan Snyder ever did.
I was going to say, also, having an HR department is the big assumption there.
And, and what also, unfortunately, gets lost now is that Dan Snyder is just going to be out there with at least $6 billion.
Yeah, and he wants part of the deal to be a get me off the hook clause. Like
yes.
He wants a, it's a lawyer word, indemnity.
He wants to be indemnified.
I'm sure Ryan could explain
yes.
that word.
And that's,
he wants
the $7
billion, jail free card?
The $7 billion offer includes a full indemnity, a full indemnification that basically says,
like, are they going to find bodies?
So does Kate.
He's going to have, like,
that.
He's
Ryan,
giving himself.
So does this full cast.
He's like, I have full legal immunity in Saudi Arabia. He's just leaving.
Yes. Shut down full indemnity.
Yep. I'm a prince now.
Yep. Emir Dan Snyder.
Emir Dan.
They're gonna find some shit in the basement. They're gonna find DB Cooper's money.